Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. Second hour. Interestingly enough, even over the course of the last 10 minutes, there's been some interesting things that have been revealed about Ashley Babbitt, who was the woman who was shot and killed yesterday at the Capitol. I'm still fascinated. You know, I woke up this morning. I think many of you may have questions about this, too, and I still can't really explain it. I saw, you know, first thing I did is I hit Twitter this morning just to see if there was anything new that had happened, and I saw that four people had been died, and yes, Ashley Babbitt is one of them. She was shot, but then there were three medical emergencies, and there's still not a whole lot of information about what those emergencies were about. But we'll see if we can find out a little bit more. So back to the claims. Look, Nick Searcy is a friend of mine. He's an actor. He was on Justified. He's been in many, many movies. Very successful. Staunch conservative. He's a big Trump guy. He was at the rally yesterday. He tells me that I'm wrong, that Antifa was there. I disagree with Nick. Well, I would say this. Were there some members of Antifa there? Okay, maybe a handful. But here's a guy, Richard Barnett. You know who he is? Well, he's a white supremacist, self-described. He has been tweeting and putting Facebook posts up about how the election was stolen. He's the guy who had the picture taken in Pelosi's office, which, by the way, is an epic picture. But he's not Antifa, right? Was Ashley Babbitt Antifa? I mean, she tried to crawl through the window of the Capitol. And if you don't think that Ashley Babbitt, I know, and I said this earlier, I don't want to be insensitive. She was a veteran. But look, that. So was Tim McVeigh, by the way. Now, she didn't try to blow up a building, but just because you're a veteran doesn't leave you off the hook for anything. But listen to the audio here. I mean, this is what, and I don't know how we get back to a sense of people not busting at the seams and having their heads explode. I think a lot, you know, this is an interesting dynamic, and it always has been for me. I'm someone who talks about politics on a daily basis. These guys in Washington, Jeff City, here in St. Louis. I've done it for the majority of my career now. But I've also been able to kind of take a step back and say, and this is where Ben Sass comes into play, and I'll play a little of this audio, that the real world involves my wife, my daughter, my kids, my friends, my producer Dave, St. Louis Cardinals baseball, the NFL, hunting deer. That's our lives, right? We let these how significant is what politicians in Washington do on your daily in your daily lives? It's really your local government, your state government, more than anything, which is kind of, we get it backwards. Everyone votes in the national elections, and they don't vote in the school board elections and, you know, St. Louis County executive elections and all those things. But the level of anger that people get just based on what politicians do is frightening. Now, the left has had people target folks like Rodney Davis and Steve Scalise and Republicans. Well, I'm not going to say the left did that, but you've had a left-wing lunatic that did that on a baseball field, tried to kill people. He was unhinged. We saw his rhetoric, and this is Ashley Babbitt. Listen to this.
Where is everybody? Huh? You got, where is Kamala? Where is Kamala? Talking about ISIS like KKK. We got this migrant caravan. You know what? We have thousands of people on the other side of the border. You people can't get to work. Our economy is going to take an absolute tank because you guys refuse to choose America over your stupid political party. Well, I am so tired of it. You try to make it with these wide angle lenses, and you try to make it that your echo chambers have these large followings. You got 40 people showing up, and you want to do a headline with CNN talking about, oh, we got massive protests for Trump shutting the borders. And no, we do not. No, we do not. What we do have is a massive amount of pissed off people like I am because you guys will not sit down and do your jobs. I'm politicians in this goddamn state. I can't take it anymore. They're all worried about what Trump is doing. How about we worry about what the hell you're doing? What have you done? Maxine Waters, what have you done? You're talking about, oh, this thing on the border is a political ploy that Trump's done. Where are you? You're not even here. You're talking all this crap up north in your district. Why don't you worry about your own goddamn district and the shit that's going on there? You are a complete... I'm telling you right now, I'm putting all you on notice. Every single one of you politicians in California, Gavin Newsom, Jerry Brown, Maxine Waters, Duncan Hunter, what the hell are you doing? Duncan Hunter, where are you?
All right, so she there was a level of anger there with Ashley Babbitt that it's not too much of a stretch to see why she wanted to crawl through the window at the Capitol. And I wish she wasn't shot in the neck, and I wish she wasn't dead today, but I think Ashley took some of these actions on herself. Now, let me get to Ben Sasse, who I love. I wish this guy would run for president. I've liked him for a while. I think he's common sense. He talks like a real person. You know, my hope for... Some people have pointed this out on Twitter and in emails, and it's certainly something that I can't deny over the course of times. Dave, have you noticed... This is where you have to be self-aware yourself. I've got terrible, terrible instincts when it comes to being friends with politicians. Have you ever noticed the trend there? Half of them go to federal prison, right?
Yeah, not exactly the best track record.
No, I mean Eric Greitens and Josh Hawley. And here's my hope. I just want to say this, and I'll tell him this personally, because I think he started to go down a rabbit hole. I hope that our Attorney General Eric Schmidt has learned some lessons here. I really do, because I didn't approve of what he did with the Texas lawsuit. I thought it was nonsense. I think he was buying into some of the same stuff. Didn't go quite as far as Hawley. And I hope maybe yesterday was a bit of a lesson for our attorney general moving forward as well. But I like Ben Sasse, and here's what he said, in case you missed this. I think some people were just exhausted after the day and watching all the news coverage. And I got sucked in again last night when they started voting. McConnell was very defiant and angry. I saw a couple other speeches. And then Ben Sasse, senator from Arkansas. Or I'm sorry, Nebraska.
This building has been desecrated. Blood has been spilled in the hallways. I was with octogenarian members of this chamber that needed to have troops and police stabilize them to get down the stairs at a time when a lot of our staffs were panicked and under their desks and not knowing what was going to happen to them. It was ugly today. But you know what? It turns out that when something's ugly, talking about beauty isn't just permissible. Talking about beauty is obligatory in a time like that. Why? Why would we talk about beauty after the ugliness of today? Because our kids need to know that this isn't what America is. What happened today isn't what America is. I don't think we want to tell the Americans that come after us that this republic is broken, that this is just a banana republic, that our institutions can't be trusted. I don't think we want that. We don't want that in this body. We don't want that in our hometowns. I don't think we want to tell our kids that America's best days are behind us, because it's not true.
I would like to think it's not true. And I've had a lot of people say today that, you know, they heard Senator Sasse and others say this is not who we are. Well, apparently this is who we are. This is not who we are. And what happened yesterday is being rejected by an overwhelming number of people who even voted for Donald Trump. Now, the cult, they're on their own now. And I think the cult members are fewer than they were yesterday. And they'll have to stand on their own. And many of them are crazy. As in insane. Now, again, I'm not lumping people, not everyone who voted for President Trump or supported President Trump. Even if you have questions about election fraud, that's legitimate. I don't know how we get out of it. I'm not a big blue ribbon panel or commission guy because I think it's nonsense. Look at the Ferguson Commission. They spent how many? They probably spent years on that, at least almost a year. What's been accomplished after the Ferguson Commission? Zero. So blue ribbon panels commission is not my favorite thing. However, maybe here you have to do it just to sort of bring election security into the forefront and give people some confidence because they believed all the nonsense in the past couple of months. A little more Ben Sasse here.
America has always been about what we choose to do together, the way we reaffirm our constitutional system, where we've got some governmental tasks and we all in this body could do better at those governmental tasks. But the heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbor. That's the center of America. We're not supposed to be the most important people in America. We're supposed to be servant leaders who try to maintain a framework for ordered liberty so that there's a structure that back home where they live, they can get from the silver frame of structure and order to the golden apple at the center, as Washington would have said it, which is the things that they build together. The places where they coach Little League, the places where they invite people to synagogue or church. Sometimes the big things we do together are governmental, like kicking Hitler's ass or like going to the moon. Sometimes there is governmental stuff, but the heart of America is about places where moms and dads are raising kids, and we're supposed to serve them by maintaining order and by rejecting violence.
This is Senator Ben Sasse. He is a Republican from Nebraska. He's been a common sense guy ever since he's been in. He's not been afraid to call out the BS on the right or the left. And here's his final message on the floor last night.
Look, there's a lot of uncertainty about the future. I get it. There's a lot that does need to be rebuilt. But if you're angry, I want to beg you, don't let the screamers who monetize hate have the final word. Don't let nihilists become your drug dealers. There are some who want to burn it all down. We met some of them today. But they aren't going to win. Don't let them be your prophets. Instead, organize, persuade, but most importantly, love your neighbor. Visit the widower down the street who's lonely, no one tell anybody that his wife died and he doesn't have a lot of friends. Shovel somebody's driveway. You can't hate somebody who just shoveled your driveway. The heart of life is about community and neighborhood, and we're supposed to be servant leaders. The constitutional system is still the greatest order for any government ever, and it's our job to steward it and protect it. Let's remember that today when we vote.
I like to see that guy have some success. And every time my track record is not very good, so maybe he's bad too. But I liked what Ben Sasse had to say last night. Let's hear, Dave, let's play the longer Lindsey Graham, because I couldn't turn this off last night. Once the Senate speeches were better than the House, and they went back and forth to a certain extent, Senator Hawley came on, and then they, you know, who was it in the House? Oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for him, because when I think I was watching Fox at the time, maybe it was CNN, because I was flipping back and forth, and there was somebody in the House that was doing a speech, and it was a pretty senior member, and they cut right to Hawley because he was on in the Senate. All right, so let's play Lindsey Graham, who he was in a different mood last night. There's no doubt about that.
Trump and I, we've had a hell of a journey. I hate it being this way. Oh, my God, I hate it. From my point of view, he's been a consequential president. But today, first thing you'll see, all I can say is count me out. Enough is enough. I've tried to be helpful. But when this Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled 4-3 that they didn't violate the Constitution of Wisconsin, I agree with the 3, but I accept the 4. If Al Gore can accept 5-4, he's not president. I can accept Wisconsin 4-3. Pennsylvania. It went to the Second Circuit. So much for all the judges being in Trump's pocket. They said, no, you're wrong. I accept the Pennsylvania Second Circuit that Trump's lawsuit wasn't right. Georgia, they said the Secretary of State took the law in his own hands. He changed the election laws unlawfully. A federal judge said, no, I accept the federal judge even though I don't agree with it. Fraud, they said there's 66,000 people in Georgia under 18 voted. How many people believe that? I asked, give me 10, and I had one. They said 8,000 felons in prison in Arizona voted. Give me 10, I hadn't gotten one. Does that say there's problems in every election? I don't buy this. Enough's enough. We got to end it.
I liked a couple of his points there. This is what I've experienced. People saying, well, this happened in this state or this happened in that state. You can come up with a couple of examples, which is why you want to give people in this country the full investigation into the elections to give them the satisfaction that widespread fraud wasn't happening. But you can't just keep repeating things about thousands and thousands of people or hundreds and hundreds of people without any proof. And Senator Hawley was okay with that. Senator Graham, not. Congresswoman Wagner had a conversation with her in the middle of all of this yesterday. We never got to play it on the air. We're going to do some of that next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
3:22 at KMR. So we're gonna get away from all this madness. Dan Buffett's gonna join me at 3:30. There's actually some good movies, a couple of which you can stream this weekend, and we have something. Dan and I belong to the Critics' Choice Association. There's the Critics' Choice Super Awards. We're just gonna honor like the action movies and the superhero awards, and we separated that out. Not completely from the regular Critics' Choice Awards, but it's kind of fun. And the show's going to air. Kevin Smith is the host on Saturday night. We'll fill you in here in just a few minutes. Congressman Ann Wagner checked in with me yesterday afternoon. It might have been right around this time, a little bit before this, probably in the middle of it. She was in an undisclosed location. She was the first person that I talked to that had been a part of all this. And here's how that conversation went. We never got to air it yesterday because we had CBS coverage on, but a little portion of that here this afternoon. Congressman Ann Wagner joins us from the Capitol. How are you, first and foremost?
Pretty shook up, I got to tell you, Mark. I mean, this is just horrific. You know, I was in the Capitol at the Republican National Committee on 9/11, and this is 1,000 times worse than even that was in terms of my emotions and feelings. We barely escaped, and I got a staffer of mine and myself out, and we are safe. I won't say where, but this is, it feels just terrible. It's just despicable what's going on. It really is. It has no place, any place in our nation, in the greatest democracy in the world. This is just terrible.
What? How did you and members of Congress realize what was going on outside? And you know, I've been to the Capitol many times, and it's not easy to get into the Capitol with the level of security since 9/11. So I think one of the big questions is, how in the world did this happen?
I don't think they were prepared. They were overwhelmed with the show of force. And you know, I showed up this morning for work. I sat in the chamber when the boxes were brought in. When the Senate arrived, you know, our own Senator Blunt is one of the talliers, and the Vice President arrived, and they kicked things off. And yes, you know, we got to Arizona, and then there were a call for debate, and that's when the two chambers divide. So I left to go back to my office to watch it there, And the next thing I knew, start seeing alerts, and I had, as I said, one staffer with me, and he was updating me, and I finally said, you know, we got to get out of here. They were breaching the Cannon building. We were two buildings down in Rayburn. There were bomb threats at the Republican National Committee and the Democrat National Committee. I heard them detonate whatever it was in front of the DNC. I mean, it was just terrifying. And then we just got out as fast as we possibly could. Many of my colleagues are holed up in a undisclosed location in the Capitol, but there are shots being fired. They're breaking through windows. They are people are getting hurt. This is not a peaceful protest or civil disobedience. They started at the White House. And you know what? The President of the United States bears some responsibility in stopping this. It's not enough to send out a tweet, say, you know, let's protect our men and women in blue. He needs to do something and take immediate action to stop this kind of seditious behavior. This is an attempt to overthrow our democratic process, and it's just not. Not right by any stretch.
So maybe this isn't the question for this moment, but where does this leave the certification of the election? Because that all is in limbo, isn't it?
Well, of course it is. I mean, I can go back to an alert that came out just a bit ago, emergency alert from Mayor Bowser, citywide curfew for D.C. starting January 6th today. At 6 p.m. until Thursday, January 7th, at 6 a.m. So what time is it here? We're going on 4 o'clock Eastern time. We haven't even taken the first vote. And the city is going to have a full-on curfew starting at 6 p.m. So I don't know where this leads. I don't know how there are people inside the Senate chambers. You've seen the tweets and the photos. They're inside the House chambers. There are members scattered all over the Hill, and the vice president was evacuated. I know that one woman shot inside the Capitol in the chest and neck. I just hope and pray that no one else is injured or hurt. I'm grateful to be safe, but this is there are a whole lot of people in harm's way right now, and I don't know if it will be able to get back to the business of the debate on what happens today. And everyone knows my position on what I plan to do in terms of upholding our Constitution and making sure that these electors get certified. But this is really horrific. It really is.
And where are you right now, and where did members of Congress then have to go? Because everyone is in different office buildings. There's an underground tunnel that leads back to those buildings. Was that how everyone was basically shepherded out, or is there another place that they had to go?
We're not allowed to say, and I can't say where I am.
Oh, okay. I get it.
And I can't say where any of them are. Gas masks.
No, and you know what? This is a great point, and I should have thought about this. I had to ask the question, but look, that's another problem with what's going on right now. This leaves our Capitol very vulnerable, very vulnerable to outside forces.
It does. It does. I've just, you know, there were protesters sitting in the chair of the Speaker of the House and the Senate leader. They're carrying around podiums and artifacts, trashing windows. I can't express how awful this is and how terrible it is for our nation. We expect to see this kind of a coup in a third world country, but look at them. They're going through the windows in the U.S. Capitol, breaking them down. I mean, the stuff that is just streaming across my phone is just, it's just unthinkable. It truly is.
Congresswoman Ann Wagner, stay safe, and we'll see what happens and what unfurls.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it's still early today, and that's what worries a lot of people, I think.
It is. We'll hope and pray for everyone that they're safe, and that this will be brought to conclusion soon. So, tell your listeners to pray for our country.
That was Congressman Wagner yesterday afternoon. We hadn't had the opportunity to air it on KMOX because of the CBS coverage yesterday, but I wanted to get it in. Obviously, some of it was dated because she was talking about yesterday afternoon, but harrowing for members of Congress. And they did get back into session last night and complete their business. 3:31, we're going to take a step back, get away from it all, talk a little movies with Dan Buffa from Channel 5 coming up next. All right. Dan Buffett is going to be the guy from Channel 5 that's going to be personally responsible for bringing me out of the funk that I've been in for 24 hours because I've been doing nothing but focusing on the nonsense in Washington. So your goal and mission, should you choose to accept it, and you will, is to not mention anything about politics. How's that?
Hey, deal. I'm going to try to make that promise come true. We'll take a hard shot at it. How about that?
Good. We want to talk about the Critics' Choice Super Awards. Our organization is doing, I love this. I think it's fun because, you know, some of these movies certainly deserve some further attention than they might get. We did years ago, Dan, I think even before you were in the Critics' Choice, we added, you know, that best action movie category, which I thought was good because you got movies that might not be recognized elsewhere. And we're going to feature them on Saturday night, aren't we?
Yes, yes. And it's kind of nice because these are the kind of movies. The conception that people think action films are easy to pull off to just watch all the work that goes into a film like John Wick, where, you know, there's months of training, there's very detailed stunts, and I think that should be celebrated. So this is hopefully like a point in the right direction.
Kevin Smith is going to be the host. You can watch it on the CW at 7 p.m. I want to make sure I do the translation here for Eastern and Central time. So 7 p.m. until 9 Central. I don't know Danny Fernandez, but Kevin Smith and Danny Fernandez. Who's Danny Fernandez, Dan? Do you know?
She sounds like maybe a younger star, maybe not too established, but possibly some teenage, like, romance films, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. Another actress. Okay, well, so that's Saturday night.
Another actress.
The Critics' Choice. I've been really powering through some movies and some good movies finally. You sent me your top 10 list. I haven't even put a top 10 list for 2020 together because I don't think I'm quite qualified. I'm still sort of, you know, pouring through the stacks of the movies that we have somewhat of an obligation to watch. We have, Dan and I have a deadline coming up this weekend for the St. Louis Film Critics and also one for the Critics' Choice. I liked your list, though, Buff. I liked it a lot. And I think I told you there would probably only be one thing that I would take issue with. There's a movie called Minari, which I thought was just wonderful, with Stephen Young, who is in The Walking Dead. It's about a Korean immigrant who moves to Arkansas in the 1980s and wants to be a farmer. I thought it was a magical movie. It made your honorable mentions, but didn't make the cut for Best of 2020.
It was really hard. This list was probably just a pure 10, and then you go into honorable mentions and top 15 or top 20, but it was hard to push that one out. And really, it's just, I sat back and I kind of thought about all these movies and I thought, you know, do I love every little thing about them? And I don't know. It just got like, kind of like, I think there's another film I didn't like to push out of there too. Gosh, it's an Oscar hopeful, but it was a hard list to put together because in a year where a lot of theaters shut down, a lot of big movies kind of moved out of the year. A lot of very, very good films, maybe smaller films, got a chance to shine. I think Minari was one of them.
Yeah, I think Minari was fantastic, and I want people to see that. But here's a couple of movies that you put on your list. One of them was The Way Back with Ben Affleck, and I think that's a great choice, a movie that probably is going to be forgotten with most end-of-the-year accolades. This was maybe one of the last movies we saw in the theaters.
Yeah, really, it was back in like March, which seems like 3 years ago. It's just, you had Invisible Man, you had The Hunt, and then you had this film by Gavin O'Connor, who apparently Ben Affleck did while he was in rehab. So he was kind of battling those demons and having to play this guy who washed out of high school after being a high school basketball star. You know, there's something about the way that it kind of went against normal sports redemption stories. It kind of went a little deeper into grief and depression and addiction. I don't know. There's something about it that really held up. So I watched it a few times.
I think it's some of the best work Affleck has done as an actor. And it is a movie. You know, it's not a feel-good sports movie. People love feel-good sports movies. It's just a really good, effective drama. And I'm glad you put it on your list. Now, I've been telling people about a movie that's going to stream here this weekend for 48 hours that you have a chance to see, called Promising Young Woman. And when I read your recap and your top 10, you're right about one thing. There's no way that you're not going to have a reaction to this movie. You're going to have a strong reaction. It really is unique. You could probably say, Dan, that men might not like it as much as women. I'm going to leave it at that. But this is a really interesting movie with Carey Mulligan and a director that is best known for her acting in the show The Crown, in Emerald Fennell.
Yeah, you kind of have that great like intersection of writer or director star and then a star like Carey Mulligan, who is just really locks into this role, because everybody, it's marketed to be this revenge film, but I think it almost pulls that genre inside out. And so I was like, okay, so what is revenge and why do we do it and what's so great about it? And especially the ending of this thing. I think the ending is going to get you, like you said, talking no matter what. I watched it. I rewound it, the screener. I watched it like 3 or 4 different times. I just couldn't believe that they pulled it off to the very end.
Yeah, it's a movie that you don't want to tell people too much about. So Carey Mulligan plays a single woman who I'm going to just stop there. Right?
Yeah, I mean, really,
it's one of those. It's a rare movie where if you say too much about it at all, it's going to probably spoil the experience. I went into it, as I do with most movies, not knowing anything about it at all. And it was one of those where your jaw drops to the ground all the way up until the end. So I really liked Promising Young Woman. Some of the other films that you mentioned on your list, The Trial of Chicago 7, that's on Netflix. That's a great, great movie. Palm Springs with Andy Samberg, I liked quite a bit. And there was something else here that I thought I had to ask you about. You know, the one movie I have not seen yet is The Sound of Metal. And you've been raving about that one for a while. And that's on Amazon, isn't it?
It is. I think it started streaming in early December. It's a film that I think that can not get passed over, but I think you really have to understand it's not just, like, people are going to think it's about music, and it is. that's kind of what kicks the whole plot off. But it's more about an appreciation of what it's really like to be deaf, to really start to lose your hearing and adapt to that world. And I think, you know, Riz Ahmed's been around for a while. He was in a great HBO series with John Turturro called The Night Of. But I think this is the first film where he really gets your attention. Also, the sound design, the way that they make the audience really experience what it's like to be deaf. I just think it's a groundbreaking film.
The prohibitive Oscar favorite is a movie called Nomadland. And when I say prohibitive, you know, the Oscar handicappers are weighing in. You never know what's going to happen. We've seen some big surprises. But so I don't like it when Oscar handicappers tell me what I'm supposed to like as a part-time film critic. Dan, you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes I think things get built up so much. And I was not, you know, as big of a fan as Parasite as a lot of people were last year. And I thought a lot of that was driven by, you know, some of the folks behind the scenes. But so I go into Nomadland with a little apprehension, thinking everybody loves this movie. It's a little artsy-fartsy. Frances McDormand plays this character who's sort of a wandering nomad in modern-day time. She plays a woman who lost her husband, lost her job. Like, the whole town basically closes down. And there really are only a handful of real actors in this movie, like Academy Award-winning actress Frances McDormand and David Strathairn. And the rest of the folks are just real people, and that's unusual. But, man, it works here, doesn't it?
It really does, and it makes me feel really good about The Eternals, because you have Chloe Zhao directing this, and this is kind of what they do. They pick these – this is when the superhero movies are smart, like the Kevin Feige's of the world. They go, hey, let's get a really artistic director and give her $300 million to make a movie. So this film – should get you really excited about that. But yeah, it's a great lived-in movie. Everything in the film you see in Nomadland is very natural. Like, there's no big events, and even when there is, it's very understated, and I think it's easy to relate to that this year.
It is one of those movies that the timing of it, in a weird way, is perfect, right? For 2020 and the pandemic, and maybe even 2021. You should mention a little bit about the Marvel movie for some folks who don't understand where that's heading and why she's the director of that next movie, right?
This is kind of what they're positioning to be, in my opinion, the next Avengers. You have Black Widow. I think that's more of a, you know, just make it right and give Scarlett Johansson that standalone film. And you have another Doctor Strange film, but The Eternals is like the next big team-up film where they introduce a lot of different new characters. Camille Nanjiani, who basically turned into The Rock for this movie, he got all muscular. It's a big cast with Angelina Jolie. So the fact that this woman made Nomadland and she's about to make possibly Marvel's next big movie, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting when they do choose directors like that. Dan, when are we going to get back into the theaters in 2021? What are your hopes for that?
I'm hoping maybe we'll just make it a year. How about we just get back in there in March maybe? Maybe late next month, possibly in April. I hope by the time the Cardinals are swinging the bats that we can potentially be back in theaters too.
You know, it's a hard time even just to guide people into their movie watching experiences because of so many options out there. My mom and dad were here last weekend, and they were asking me a little bit about streaming and what I have. And unfortunately, I'm one of those people that has everything, and I wish there was a way to cull it down. But I feel like because of my job, I have to have Hulu, Apple TV Plus, HBO Max,
you name
it. I have all the streaming, but it's hard. To know where some of these titles are, it gets confusing for people. Like Promising Young Woman, I'll use that as an example. That's going to stream. I get the email today. That's going to stream for 48 hours this weekend.
48 hours.
Where do people find that? Is that just an iTunes thing? It's not really clear to everyone. So I think that audiences are getting lost on some of these films.
You know, back in the day, I think it was Edward Burns who started this. Let's just release a movie on the internet. I think it was Johnny Boy. He did it for iTunes. And it just went everywhere. And now, when you sit on demand, you go, well, where is that at? Is that like the third menu on my home screen? Because it used to be Netflix and Amazon. I mean, in my top 10, I think I see like four streaming devices and three different studios, maybe a studio handing off a picture to another. So there's definitely a lot of explaining to when it comes to, hey, where's that movie at? Well, it's on like nine different networks.
Once again, the Critics' Choice Super Awards coming up Saturday night. You can watch them on the CW 7 o'clock. Kevin Smith is the host, Danny Fernandez. You'll see Lenny James from The Walking Dead, Tiffany Haddish. Ralph Macchio is going to show up. So a bunch of folks handing out awards. And this is one of those that was recorded in advance, so we can't give away all the drama. But that should be fun to see that 2 hours on the CW, 7 o'clock Central this Saturday night. And I, you know, it's sort of embarrassing, Dan. I don't even know, or I'm sorry. Dan, I don't know why I got confused there. I don't even know when our deadline for the Critics' Choice is, Buffa. When is
it? You know, I just got a book in the mail and has all the Critics' Choice. And essentially, one date says February 1st, but then it says final ones due on March 4th. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, we have like a month? So there's like four different dates. You know, ours are pretty simple in St. Louis Film Critics. It's this Saturday and then next weekend, and that's it. So with Critics' Choice, it could be like maybe like the end of the Lord of the Rings movie where it's like eight endings.
Well, you also wonder if even some of these, you know, we announced early that the awards would be in March. The Oscars did the same thing. The Golden Globes are trying to get out even some nominations, but the Grammys have already moved their awards. So it wouldn't completely shock me if some of these things get pushed even further. Dan Buffa, you can find his work over at KSDK.com. Buffa, always great to have you on the air. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
3:48 at the Voice of St. Louis. A little bit more to get through this afternoon. We spent a lot of time on the situation in Washington. We lightened it up with movies. We have an audio cut of the day coming up as well here. And you'll hear a little back from Congressman Ronnie Davis from his discussion with me earlier in the next hour on CAMWEX. And Kevin Wheeler on sports as well. We got traffic with Roger coming up next.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store, pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. I want to squeeze a couple in here. First, this was a reporter with Town Hall. By the way, this is a conservative news site. Julio Rosa, talking about what happened yesterday when he was in that building.
I started out my day near where President Trump was having his rally. I then found out that people were going to the Capitol building, so I made my way over there. And as I walked up to the building, that's when I could see Trump supporters starting to tear down some of the fencing that has been put up because there's inauguration stuff that has been under construction for quite some time. So they then went, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing, because then they started to push past all the barricades that had been set up. And the police presence was very light on the grounds, but then once they got to the steps of the Capitol, that's when we saw police finally forming defensive lines. And keep in mind, these were not riot cops. These were police officers in their regular patrol uniforms. And so it took a while for police in riot gear to actually respond as the day progressed.
He went on to describe the scene further.
I only got inside the rotunda. That's as far as I was able to get into. Things were all right, I guess you could say, but things became, and as the video that you showed, things became kinetic after police started to come in to push everyone back out, and it became actually pretty dangerous for people being trampled on. And actually, I almost got trampled on a few times. I'm only 5'6", so I'm easy to step on, but it was almost getting hard to breathe at certain points because I couldn't move. People were pushing back, people were pushing forward, and a lot of people, including myself, were caught in the middle.
And then this is Illinois Republican Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who called on the cabinet to invoke the 25th Amendment.
Sadly, yesterday, it became evident that not only has the president abdicated his duty to protect the American people and the people's house, he invoked and inflamed passions that only gave fuel to the insurrection that we saw here. When pressed to move and denounce the violence, he barely did so, while of course victimizing himself and seeming to give a wink and a nod to those doing it. All indications are that the president has become unmoored, not just from his duty, nor even his oath, but from reality itself. It is for this reason that I call for the vice president and members of the cabinet to ensure the next few weeks are safe for the American people, and that we have a sane captain of the ship. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment allows a majority of the cabinet and the vice president to assume the duties of the office of presidency until the president is able to himself. It's time to invoke the 25th Amendment and to end this nightmare. We will arise from this, but we cannot forget what led us here. The liars and conspiracy authors are already at it again this morning with false narratives about yesterday's disaster. Here's the truth. The president caused this. The president is unfit and the president is unwell. And the president must now relinquish control of the executive branch voluntarily or involuntarily.
See, I'm kind of all in at this point, being as disgusted as I am after what happened yesterday on the 25th Amendment. But, you know, there's 13 days left till Inauguration Day, and it probably isn't something that is practical or makes sense, even though it's warranted at this point, and it might lead to more violence. So maybe need to just hold on for a few more days. 356, that's your audio cut of the day. Total Information PM is coming up next on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.